Can we give it up for the band one more time? That was, we're so blessed to have just top tier talent here, week in, week out. So thank you guys for sharing that talent with us. Thank you to Aida for those beautiful prayers. Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. It's mine. It's all mine. Thank you, Aida, for those beautiful words. And thank you to my beautiful wife for leading this morning. Whew. Good morning, y'all. Thank you so much for being here. And for those who can't be here, thank you for watching. It is an absolute honor to be here. It's an absolute honor that you came. Today, my talk is about fostering spiritual resiliency and how letting go of your stories can help let the light in. It's hot outside, isn't it? Yeah. I told myself today my story was that I was going to wear something casual and comfortable. You know, per Jill's request, I think it was 2 weeks ago, she said, you know, it's hot. Come in casual, don't worry about it. But my wife told me that I needed to be a little more respectable, so I put a blazer on, and, you know, my story also was that I'm in charge. That is not the case. We're about being honest here. That's what it's about, right? Being honest, being true. So when I talk about resiliency, I'm talking about being honest with yourself. You know, I think far too often we think that grace is something that we can attain. It's something we need to grapple for, to work for, when the truth is, it's a divine gift that resides inside of us. It's about having the grit and the grace to keep coming back to the well, because sometimes it can be such a daunting task knowing that we are spiritual beings on this physical plane. And in turn, with that physicality, that humanness, we also know that we are fallible. We are not perfect, but yet we strive to be on this path towards perfect divinity. And it can be overwhelming at times. It's about having that grace that's within us, knowing that grace is within us, to keep coming back, to not give up on yourself, to give up on you. And when I say stories, you know, I'm talking about the incessant chattering of the mind, these things that we carry with us from the past, these perceived notions we have about ourselves and those around us, the heaviness that that can create. Because in general, stories, you know, it's not a bad thing. Stories are there for a purpose from a cultural perspective. They've been around since the dawn of time, since man could communicate. So, you know, stories can be a good indicator of the past. We can learn from that and build a bridge to the future from them. They are archetypal. They're metaphorical. They're allegorical. And sometimes we get lost in our origin story, where we actually come from. You know, a good story that can remind us, a good origin story, is the one of Superman. So, Superman was sent to this place, much like us. We existed. We've existed before we were born. You know, we come from the stars. We are galactic dust. We're divine. Superman came from far away. If I got the story right, Krypton was under impending doom, and his dad, Jor-El, built this spaceship to send Kal-El to Earth. Well, that's where he ended up. That's where he landed. He landed in the cornfields of Kansas. And he was told from early age he was Clark Kent. That really wasn't who he was. The people that raised him, the Kents, did the best they could with him to tell him, hey, this is who you are. We want to protect you. This is your earthly name. This is who you are. But as he grew and got older, he realized that he was different. He had accessibility to these magnificent gifts, these strengths, unbridled power. You know, it was almost as if he was divine walking among mortals. But it was hard for him. As he got older, he felt that he was different, and his parents wanted him to fit in. And I'm not, you know, a huge comic book nerd. I've watched the movies, but at one point, I think that he actually renounced his powers. He went to this little crystal cave, pressed some buttons, and he was bereft of all his gifts to be human. I think it was for love. I'm saying love's not a bad thing. It was for Lois Lane so that he could be with her. So, you know. But here he was, this being with these supreme gifts, and he eschewed them away so he wouldn't be persecuted. Now, Does that sound like someone else we know? Another story we've heard? And I'm not saying that we can walk on water or we can leap tall buildings in a single bound. But this Christ consciousness that we're aware of, that resides in us, you know, it's there for a reason. And how often do we not even recognize that? You know, what sad stories do we tell ourselves to push it away, to not access our full gifts? And it's really, it's no fault of our own. You know, we're human, and we're born here. We came here, and the people that raised us from an early age, they were humans as well. They were people. And they had their stories, their indiscretions that were passed down to us. Maybe some of them weren't quite open to the idea of these powers that we have, these magnificent gifts, the connection we have to the divine. So we walk around, you know, when you're little, maybe you cried a lot, and your parents were like, don't cry. Or maybe you didn't cry, and like, that's great. You automatically have these links, these neural pathways to who you think you should be to fit in a societal standpoint. You know, you're told who you should be. But if I asked you that question, who are you? What do you think you would say? You know, off the cuff, if I was asked that, my knee-jerk societal reaction story would be, I'm Michael Finn, I'm 42, I live in Driven Springs, Texas, I'm married to Leah Finn, we have two beautiful boys, Ford and Indiana. I run the family farming business. In my spare time, I like to cook a good meal, enjoy a good glass of wine, and I am way too obsessed with trying to be a good guitar player. I have way too many guitars. I'm obsessed with classic rock. I'm the quintessential dad rocker, or wannabe dad rocker. But what I'm asking of us today is to just go a little bit deeper. Don't be afraid to go deeper. You know, when I first started my journey, my spiritual journey, I really got into transcendental meditation, TM. My mind was just blah, 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 chattering all the time. I couldn't get it to stop. So I started meditating. And the goal was, you know, let's drop in. Let's get transcendental. And so I just would sit there and, like, my wife got into it too, but she would do it laying down. I'm like, no, you got to get up and sit. You got to sit here and you got to, and there's parameters to this. It's, you know, I was dogmatic about it to a fault because I'm seeking out the end result while not taking the journey. So I'm sitting here trying to force this calm, force this enlightenment on myself. And it was a struggle. But there was this one time, I don't know what was in the water that day or what I did, but I sat down and I dropped in, man. I got clear. I got one. I mean, I don't mean to be overly verbose, but it's like I connected with the universe, the cosmos. I was free of this body. I was free of these thoughts. And it was just this serene, glorious nothingness, unencumbered, fully free. And it lasted for probably about 2 seconds because I snapped out of it. I was like, oh God. I was like, I'm dead. I'm not here. What, you know, because I was so afraid of losing this identity. This Michaelness. I was in touch with this grandiose divinity. But yet, I wanted to come back to this because it's all we know. You know, it's like misery loves company sometimes. And it feels like a never-ending conflict a lot, this battle we have between our consciousness. You know, I'm going to try this. I'm going to get a little cerebral here, get a little metaphysical. So if I ask you to point to your mind, you probably wouldn't point to your belly, right? No, point to your head. But your mind is not you. We are the consciousness that is behind the mind. It's our job to witness this. Because the mind, at the end of the day, all it really is just this energy field that can make thoughts. And it's magnificent in its own right. But it can also be the chains that bind you. Because you get caught up in it. You think you're something. You're not. You know, you're not your past. You're not what your dad said. You're not what your mom said. You're not what your teacher told you when you're five. You're this regenerative energy that has the power to be able to transform any given second. But we get caught up in it. We get caught up in it. It feels like a never-ending conflict, what's true in the moment versus what your human mind is saying. You know, and that's, I hate cliches, but they're there for a reason. That's when you got to let go and let God. You give up your past, you give up on who you think you're supposed to be, and just be. You know, stop the chatter. Turn off the TV. Just be. Go take a walk. You know, who could we be without the stress of our sad stories? But you know, life, conflict, fear, worry, it seeps in, you know? It's your programming. It's this data processor turning out, well, last time that happened, you should react this way. It's predictive. You know what else is predictive? Your cell phone, your smartphone. Start typing a sentence, and has this happened to you before? You start typing a sentence, and you want to say something, and it says like five words, and you're like, that's not what I wanted to say. It's intelligent. It's smart. It's amazing it can do that. But it's not always right. Let's be more than our technology. Let's be more than our cell phones. You know, I've talked about programming. Kind of a running theme in my talks. No, because it's a running theme in my life, actually. I've got daddy issues. I really do. I was raised to think a certain way and be a certain way. And as I got older and came into my power, which I really wasn't aware of, but I came into my manhood, or what I thought was my manhood, I wanted to be the exact opposite of my father. I wanted to do things differently than he did. I judged, he judged me. And the thing, if I'm really being honest, is I was the one that was doing all the judging. But I had it in my mind, in my stories, that I needed to branch out and do something completely different than he did to be successful. You know, and what is success? It's a tough balance being a spiritual being on this physical plane, because a lot of times we view success as the car we drive, the house we live in, our job, the money we have, the way our hair looks, the way our hair doesn't look, our clothes. And it's all just finite stuff. It goes away. But I was caught up in that loop. And if I'm being honest, I still am. We all are. We can't really get away from this humanness. We just try. It's just striving. But anyway, I had in my mind I had to go out to California and do the exact opposite thing he did to be successful. So I tried my hand at acting. And I told myself I wouldn't be successful unless I was on a nationally televised TV show or became a box office movie star and had $1 million in my bank account. Then he would love me and respect me the way I wanted him to love and respect me, and all would be good, right? Well, that didn't happen. Spoiler alert, didn't happen. or I charge a fee to be here. Anyway, this is pro bono. Anyway, he got, in the middle of my journey out there in California, he got really sick, and I came home to take care of him. And he died from a grueling battle with cancer. And it kind of truncated our relationship. And when he passed away, I was handed the family business, which was didn't know anything about, or really didn't want to have anything to do with, but it became my responsibility to take on. And I didn't know it, but there's this all this unresolved trauma inside me. And so when I actually started running it and doing things in his footsteps, I just felt so judged. I felt so beat down. I felt not worthy. All these negative energies were inside of me. And it's something I've been working on for a long time, but it really came to a head about a month ago. It came back. You know, I think I've got these things taken care of, but you know, they keep coming back. We had just moved into our house. Leah and I just finished our house, or forever home, if you will. I don't know. We think it will be, but it was a stressful time. You know, it took forever to get into it, especially in these times, the COVID, supply issues, yada, yada, yada. And I was just stressed out. I wasn't sleeping well. The kids were on my last nerves, and I was unboxing, you know, in the garage. And I'm just heavy in my feels, because I took a big step this year. I branched out and separated the business. I made some business moves I didn't feel confident in, but they're working out, but I still judged. Did I do the right thing? I judged, did we build the right house? Was it the right spot? Was it the right time? Just this incessant loop. And this whole time I'm feeling small and unloved, you know, by the great Father above me. You know, for some reason, it's a Catholic upbringing. I look up, I think he's in the clouds. You know, when people end their journey here, they don't sit on clouds. But I'm looking up and I'm feeling a certain way about all this, and I find this plaque in one of these boxes I had. And he gave it to me, I don't know, I'm probably going to say when I was a teenager, maybe a young adult in my 20s, I can't remember. Forgot about it, actually. That's how funny the memory is. It's so fallible, you forget these things. I mean, if I ask you right now to recall 10 compliments you received versus 10 insults or things that were negative, oh, you're going to go right to the insults, right? It's the fear response, it's the amygdala. It's I call it a disevolutionary gene we have. You know, it used to be we would hide from the T-Rexes weren't around when men were, but the woolly mammoth, the saber-toothed tiger, you know, they're over there. So we tend to focus on the negative. It's a survival technique, but it really keeps us from thriving. Surviving, but not thriving, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, the plaque said, "Little man, how fast you grew and went the way all children do. In a world you've yet to know, you needed room to stretch and grow. I watched with pride as you felt your way and tested strengths in work and play. We shared our fun as buddies do. When you were cut, I bled some too. Shooting baskets or climbing high, gazing at the stars in the summer sky. We gave it our best just like a team, a young man's game, an old man's dream." I always treasure those memories past, could prayers but make the good times last. But boys are meant to grow up strong, and daddies just can't tag along. So I hope you know and understand, I'm always near if you need a hand. And of all God's gifts, could I choose but one, it'd be a father's love for his son. So I read that. Actually, when I found it, Ford, my oldest son, my six-year-old, was out there. And I was like, man, this is beautiful. So I read it to him, and he looked at me with these big eyes and said, "Oh, Daddy, thank you so much. That was nice. Thank you for sharing." And I was just caught up in emotion. I was just kind of like I am now. And I had to excuse myself. I went into our bedroom, and right when I walked in, this thick smell permeated the room. It was kind of woody, oaky, and masculine. It was unmistakable. Right away, I knew it was Old Spice. My dad wore Old Spice. And I just sat there and I cried. I let it all out. Because a lot was going on right then and there. One, it's proof. You know, so often we search for proof all the time. We need more. You know, if you see a burning bush, show me three. And it let me know that it's just further proof that this doesn't end. You know, I talked earlier, we came with this energy that's been around forever. We came from the stars, galactic dust. You know, energy cannot be destroyed. It just changes shape. And it was whacking me on the head, like, come on, let go of that sad story. You know, your relationship, your physical relationship might have ended, but it doesn't have to end. And the other thing that showed me was that you ask for the divine, it'll show up. You just have to be open to it. You know, here I was telling myself all these stories. I was telling myself, you know, my story was that my dad didn't love me enough. Or he didn't love me the way he should have. Love me the way I wanted to be loved. You know, that story of discomfort, let's be honest, it doesn't even matter. Because God did not say, "I hope you love me," or "love me this way." God said, "I have loved you with everlasting love." You can't control how other people treat you. You cannot control your situations or what happens to you. I was the one that's doing all the judging. The more and more I walk on this path, I realize I misconstrue things. It's my stories. It's not them. It's when we realize that our happiness, our joy, our goodness is not contingent on anything else but the love we cultivate and facilitate inside. That's when we are truly free. Nothing can touch you. There's nothing you have to do or get or be to feel this regenerative love that you are already pre-wired for. It was just a nice reminder. And I, you know, in that moment, I was like, I'm never going to forget. But we do. We do. But one of the wisest men that I've ever had the pleasure of listening to or read, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese monk, he said, when a wave comes in and hits the shore, it doesn't cease being a wave. It just goes back into the ocean. The wave and the ocean are one. There is no separateness. It's like Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Resiliency is also about having the capacity to keep coming back to the well, you know? It's about strength. It's about having resolve. And man, it can be hard to do in these times, especially these times. You know, I'm sure all of you are aware the Uvalde shooting happened about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And I was of the mindset that I needed to be strong. I was going through this phase where, like, I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of being, I'm going to be, strength for me is, like, have this strong facade, right? So I didn't hear about it. I think my wife reached out to me and told me about it. I don't watch the news much anymore, but, you know, this day and age, social media and everything is so prevalent. Anyway, she reached out to me and told me about it, and I Googled it real quick, and I was like, yeah. But my response, it really wasn't my response. It was a response I felt like I should have as a man that just went to a gun safety class. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? These are the times we live in. Not going to get rid of guns. Whatever. Had this hard facade. My wife, she did not feel the same way. She got home and she was in her field. She was emotional, driven, filled with rage and sadness and ire. And she was like, I'm not going to let these emotions, I'm not these emotions. I'm going to let them control me. I'm going to do something about it. So before I knew it, in the next day or two, we had a meeting with the principal at Ford's Elementary School. You know, this happened 2 hours away from here. And we sat there, and while it was kind of disenchanting to hear some of the things they had in place or didn't have in place, the answers they did not have, you know, my wife took this opportunity to be resilient, to not wallow in this and have action items come out of this meeting and out of this tragedy. We left, and later on in the week, I was still in my feels about everything, and I was just in a bad mood. I was just short. Got to church on Sunday when Jill gave the memoriam for all the children. I just wept. I wept. I wept and I wept. I kept crying. I got home and just let it out, you know. And that's the thing. We think to be strong, to be resilient, we've got to be Teflon. We got to have things bounce off of us. But the truth is, you've got to let things move through you in a healthy way so you can grow and have the strength to move on. You know, flowers and food don't typically grow in soil. I mean, they don't typically grow in concrete. They can. You know, and that's a miracle. You can witness the miracle that life will find a way. They more often than not, they grow in soil where it's malleable, it's open, it breathes. You know, I had a therapist. Yeah, I've been in a lot of therapy. I had a therapist tell me once that a lot of good men die from unwatered cheeks. And here in the West, you know, it's not a popular thing to talk about. We've got to be tough. We've got to be strong. I know this talk seems to be geared towards men today. Maybe it's because Father's Day is next weekend. But all of us, you know, we need to let things move through us, you know, with a trust and love and a little rain and cheek watering from time to time, you know, we can witness the miracle of growth. Watch this and how, you know, with resilience, you can nourish yourself and in turn your nourishment for those around you. And one other thing I want to mention about that, not like this is Finn's guidebook to being resilient, but I guess it's kind of what it's turning into. This is not popular in Buddhism, Eastern philosophies, and probably a lot of ministers and reverends won't tell you this, but I'm not licensed, so I get a pass. Sometimes you just gotta let it out. I was, building on all the father stuff, the move, everything. The past 2 weeks ago, I was just in this spot, man. I could not get out of it, no matter how I tried. You know, I tried to do my meditation, couldn't drop in. I tried to own my way out of it. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. You know, and that's the thing. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I use my spiritual growth and my practices as a bludgeon for myself. I beat myself over the head with it. Come on, you're better than this. And maybe I'm just not that enlightened yet. I don't know. But also, I use it as a bludgeon towards other people. I judge them. I'm like, well, you're not as evolved as me. So it's just like, it's this never-ending spiral, this circle. Anyway, I was stuck in it. And I was talking to my friend on the phone. He's in California, and he's pretty go-with-the-flow, chill guy. Anyway, and I was just telling him I have this anger issue. And he's like, man, you're human. Just let it out. You're not perfect. And I was like, no, you're right. You can do that. So I'm driving to my truck, running errands in B Cave, and I was like, I turned off my monk chanting, whatever I was listening to, and I put on Pantera, man. Do you guys know Pantera? No, they're a heavy metal band out of Dallas. And I was just like in the car, like freaking out, just like freaking, like, and like pounding on the steering wheel. I think I freaked out this elderly lady next to me. She thought I was rabid, having a stroke or something. And you know what? I got to where I was going in the parking lot of Lowe's or whatever, and I felt better. I felt so much better. And it's okay. I'm telling you, it's okay. I mean, if you can do it in other ways, great. But like if you go out in the woods or in the privacy of your own home and you're not hurting yourself or anybody else, it's okay. It's okay to be human. It's okay to be frustrated. In Buddhism, they talk a lot about this. They say the judgment about how you're feeling, about your events that happened to you, that's the second arrow. Well, the first arrow is the actual event itself, the event itself. And you cannot control that, right? We've already talked about that. Life comes in. You can't control it. But more harm is usually done with the second arrow. It's the second arrow you fire your judgments about it. I shouldn't feel this way. I'm a bad person for feeling this way. I feel guilty and shame, and I should be better. Don't do that. Give yourself some grace. Don't load up the bow. Just don't. It's okay to feel these ways certain times. It's all right. You know, resiliency takes effort. It takes awareness. It takes consciousness. And this is not the fun part, but sometimes it's facing your fears. In The Pathway of Roses, Christian Larson said it beautifully. When you begin to feel there's danger of loss, refuse to recognize the loss in any form, whatever. Give all the power and mind and thought to the great truth you possess now. Give full recognition to the boundlessness of your own spiritual riches. When I started here, came for a while, my facade was cracking. The goodness, the rain, and the wisdom that was being given here cracked my shell open, cracked my rock open. And about that time, it was when Jill and Leah were mentioning that we needed more prayer chaplains. I was like, you know what? I need to start giving back. I want to give back here. I can be a prayer chaplain. I like to talk. I can pray. You know, it sounds easy, right? Not too involved. So I went to the class. I got ordained. I mean, okay, I didn't get ordained. I'm not. It was like an hour and a half class. They basically made sure I knew the protocol so I wasn't being a loose cannon. Anyway, got in my prayer chaplain wings, and then it dawned on me. I was like, man, you know, people that need prayers, they might be going through perceived suffering. And what if the stuff they're coming to me with bumps my edges? I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I can do that. And sure enough, you know, that train's never late. I don't mean to make light of this, but, you know, one of my first prayer assignments was Leah reached out to me, and she said there's a gentleman in our congregation. It was about my age. He was a family man. He had kids. He had a wife. And they're going through some tough times. His wife had a very aggressive form of cancer. And I was like, oh, God, no. You know, my dad died of a really, really tragic, gnarly cancer. And for the longest time, it was like Voldemort, you know, he that will not be named. I don't know if you guys are Harry Potter fans. I couldn't say the word cancer. I couldn't even look at it. I basically would just turn my eye to it. I ignored it. And that's not a good way to be either. Avoidance, you know, it's not good to avoid. You got to go through. So of course I said yes, and I got on the call, and I was petrified at first. I felt like my body was going to implode or catch on fire. But I learned a lot from that call. I learned about the resiliency of human spirit when people are going through things that are difficult. I learned that we are better if we go at it together. I learned that I have gifts that I can give. You know, I didn't go through all these things, these hardships, if you will, for me just to sit there and have analysis through paralysis. I went through it, or paralysis through analysis, reverse that. I went through those things for a reason. I've got something to implement. I can be there. I can hold space for people. You know, I thought for my resiliency to be intact, I needed to have barriers up for my preservation. But the preservation is about taking those barriers down. You need to embrace what won't stop. Life's always going to bump your edges. You need to embrace the never-ending stream of emails that need to be answered. You need to just embrace life. You know, I had an acting coach say once that without struggle, there is death. But the struggle is easier if we don't go at it alone. I judge that my ego wants to go at it alone all the time, and therefore I suffer. But we shouldn't suffer. A man much smarter than me, Albert Einstein, said, 100 times every day, I remind myself that my inner and outer life depends on the labors of other people, living and dead, and that I must exert myself in order to give in the same measure as I have received and am still receiving. You know, the recent tragic events and the thoughts about my dad, you can get sucked into it. You know, the day before all that happened, it was a completely marvelous one. I felt free and open, and then all of a sudden I had this negative thought, and I just go down. But heck, even Superman, you know, he was fallible. Just a little bit of kryptonite brought him down, man. Just like a negative thought or perceived notion can do for us. But the one thing I'm starting to be aware of is that we have a superpower. And I've been out of touch with it most of my life. The superpower I'm talking about is choice, free will. We cannot control our thoughts. It's a losing battle. But what we can do is employ the power of our consciousness, the power to rise above our mind when we need to, the power to transcend a negative condition, the power to augment our frequency and raise our vibration. All you have to do is make a choice to keep your superhero suit on and to always wear your cape of consciousness. The misconception is things have to be heavy when we get older. Everything has to be hard and arduous. But that's just the mind. That's just our conditioning. A rubber band snaps back a whole lot faster when it's not brittle and tense. I started studying karate about a year ago, and the sensei told me, I was like, dude, you're trying way too hard. I'm all tense. I'm trying to punch. He's like, energy loves relaxation. You snap it out and bring it back. It'll go where you direct it. You just have to put your consciousness on where you want to go. You know who are resilient? Children. And all of us have an inner child in us. I keep going back to only the childlike will enter the kingdom of heaven. But what if we realize this is heaven right now? Yes, this plane is unevolved and there's a lot wrong with it. But we step outside and if we're lucky enough to have sight, we witness so many beautiful things within 1 second. The butterflies flying, the sun shining, the wind blowing. It's like an animal and insect kingdom out there. Thich Nhat Hanh also said, the miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk here on the earth. Be conscious of your steps. Be grateful. Be grateful you have the ability to do hard things, like walking into a principal's office and demanding better security for our children, like voting with your consciousness. And understanding that while you might have to bury a loved one, you recognize that you were lucky enough to spend time with them in the first place. And be grateful you have fingers to answer those emails. And when you're done doing hard things, just be present and be playful. Children are great at playing. And if you don't feel like doing hard things, just smile. It's easier than frowning. I looked it up. It's science. Takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And don't forget to trust. Lay down your burdens at God's feet. While I was writing this, I had a thought too. I thought it was kind of catchy. Lay down your heavy shield, because there has to be an eye to fight. It's in the word, anyway. Don't give away the joke. I always like to end my talks with prose or a passage from one of the literary greats that I really admire. This one's from Aldous Huxley. It's dark because you were trying too hard. Lightly, child, lightly. Learn to do everything lightly. Yes, feel lightly, even though you're feeling deeply. Just lightly let things happen and cope with them. I was so preposterously serious in those days. Such a humorous little prig. Lightly, lightly. It's the best advice that was ever given to me. When it comes to dying even, nothing ponderous or portentous or emphatic, no rhetoric, no tremolos, no self-conscious persona putting on its celebrated imitation of Christ or Little Nell. And of course, no theology, no metaphysics. Just the fact of dying and the fact of the clear light. So throw away your baggage and go forward. There are quicksands all about you, sucking at your feet, trying to suck you down into fear and self-pity and despair. That's why you must walk so lightly. Lightly, my darlings. On tiptoes and with no luggage. Not even a sponge bag. Completely unencumbered. Let's take these thoughts, ruminations, take a minute to quiet our thoughts, to go inward and reflect, to access that divinity that is within us. I want you all to take a breath from the bottom of your heels, the top of your crown, your top chakra, and just let it go. And feel that wave of energy that is connected to more than you, but yet is you. We are the body of ocean. We are the air that we breathe. We are the sunshine that shines on our skin. I want you to breathe into any pain you might have, whether it be mental or physical. I want you to breathe into that spot or that memory. I want you to look at it. I want you to acknowledge it. And I want you to think about what story might be behind that. And I want you to breathe it in as full as you can. And when it gets to the top of your lungs and you can do no more, I want you to bless that. I want you to bless that story and bless that pain. And I want you to exhale, and I want you to let it out. I want you to let go of any heaviness, of any burden you might be carrying. We are spiritual beings on this physical plane. But it's so easy to be bogged down. Be light. Seek the light. Choose the light. And recognize the light within yourself. Let it shine so bright that there is no darkness, the illumination takes over. Let it shine so bright that you become a beacon for your family, for your community, for your world. For we can create the world we wish to live in if we take the time and energy and realize it is just one thought away. And breathe in one more time and breathe in that gratitude. Gratitude for being here. Beating the odds, being walking amongst this earth. Let it go. And just realize how amazing, how resilient, how strong, and how beautiful you truly are. We thank you, God, for this experience, for this being. And so it is.